Let's turn to the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm chapter 51.
Good to be here.
And good to hear the preaching. We've heard already. Let's read the whole psalm this morning.
Have mercy upon me, O God.
According unto thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shalt they offer bullock upon thine altar. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm asking a good friend of mine, Brother Marshall Nault, lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Now we've come to a very well-known passage of the Bible tonight. Psalm 51, you have all read it. I've read it many times. But as we get to read this passage, you'll notice that the Lord in this passage, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, tells us about four spirits. First of all, in verse 10, He tells us about having a right spirit. And boy, if there's anything that Bible believers need today, is we need to have the right spirit to get the right job done for God Almighty. There's so many wrong spirits going around. What we need is to get right this week so we can go back or stay here and be better than what we was before this meeting came to be. Amen. So God tells us about a right spirit, and then in verse 11, thank God, He tells us about the Holy Spirit, and boy, we can't speak enough about Him. But then down in verse 12, He talks about a free spirit, but that's not that anarchical spirit. That's not that not hooking up with somebody's spirit. That's the Spirit of God that comes in when God's people are in one accord, and the Word of God is being exalted, and Jesus being lifted up, and the Spirit of God begins to move on the congregation of God. That's what we need. We need the free spirit in here today, man. And then you'll notice also that He talks about a broken spirit. And we need that down in verse 17. But as I began to read this passage, I got caught down there in verse 10. And He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now I reckon tonight that must mean, now some of you theologians can help me, but as far as I know, what He's talking about there is at one time He had a right spirit. But now David, a man after God's own heart, has got the wrong spirit. And he's saying, Lord, I'm tired, I'm weary,
of having this wrong spirit. I'm tired of having your fellowship. Lord, create me a clean heart and give me the right spirit today. Say, well, I got my Bible right, preacher. Yeah, but you ain't right. Amen. You see, your spirit reveals what you are. And your spirit will either, that you give off, either help somebody or to hurt somebody. When David had the right spirit, he had all those young men come to him down there at the cave of Adullam. And he made mighty men out of them. And that right spirit that David had was a blessing to somebody else. But it wasn't long after he seen Bathsheba. He got messed up there. And he got that wrong spirit. And Joab was loyal to him. And he didn't mind dragging a Bathsheba down or killing Uriah or even taking his loyal man Joab down with him into a lie and covering up his sin because he had the wrong spirit. So we got to be careful what spirit we got. You'll notice something. In verse 2, we see that David, as Brother Ingram said, David believed in repenting. Now, you ought to be as good as a repenter as you are a sinner. Simeon's is real good sinners. But boy, when it comes to repenting, you don't do much time, amen. I mean, you don't spend much time at the old fashioned altar no more. You need to, amen. It'll determine how you turn out in life by the way you respect repentance. But you notice in verse 2, I like this. He said, wash me. That's done by the water of the Word of God. That's what we're here today for. That's what we're going to be here tomorrow for. And here tonight, was here last night, is to come in and to get a washing by the water of the Word. He said, wash me, O Lord. Some of us come in, you might have come in a little dirty. You need a washing. That's your past sins. And then he said down there in verse 7, purge me. That's done by the blood. That's your present sins. Thank God there ain't a sin you can do and there ain't a sin I can do tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ can forgive. Amen. Now down where I come from, or up, they say the blood of Jesus Christ will forgive you any sin except for marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now I've been married for 22 years to the same woman. Never been married before. Amen. But I'll tell you what. Their problem with me is not a moral problem. Their problem with me is an authority problem over what this book says. Amen. And if the blood can't forgive you of all, it can't forgive at all. Amen. I had one of those idiot jaybirds from Lenore come down and say to me, didn't you? He said, you believe in marriage, divorce, remarriage? I said, of course I believe that. I'm not stupid. I went to PBI. What do you mean? I ain't ignorant. I might have been born of a night, but I wasn't born last night. Amen. He said, you can't prove it. I said, I can. I said, all right, stupid, let me ask you this question. I said, did you ever read 1 Corinthians 7? I didn't read this in the commentary. I said, you read 1 Corinthians 7? He said, yeah, I've read it. I said, the Bible says there that I speak unto the unmarried. That's what he said by verse 3. Paul's classifying people. He said, I speak unto the unmarried. Then he goes into verse 4, he says, I speak unto the widows. That's people that were married and their spouses died. And then he says in verse 5 or 6, I speak unto the married. So he said that there's unmarried, there's widows, and then there's married. But you get down there in about verse 10, and he says, I speak unto the rest. Wait a minute. I ain't claiming to be smart, but I ain't no jackass, Brother Ingram, amen. If they're not unmarried, if they're not divorced, if they're not married, who are they? You tell me who they are. There's only one class left. And that's a bunch of folks that got married out of the will of God and God wasn't in that thing and they went out and it didn't work out and they got divorced and God sent them somebody else and they married someone in the Lord. All right.
Then he said in verse 14, deliver me. That's future. They got this crowd up there by me in Bristol, Tennessee. And they say this. They say, when you get saved, ain't God repent no more. Because everything was forgiven at Calvary. That is true. That is true. Sit there looking at me like a tree full of owls. That is true. Because the blood forgave us of all sin. Past, present, and future. God can fellowship with a man with sin in his nature. But God will not fellowship with a man with sin in his heart. And there's a difference there. There's a difference. And they say you ain't got to repent, and they live like the devil, amen. And that teaching there will ruin young men. And if some of you fellows that are called to the mission field get hooked up with that reprobate outfit, God will put the curse of God on you, amen. Can't ever figure out why anybody wants to change parties in the middle of the stream anyhow. Now, I know there's a difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I know that. I know that there's a different working, a different ministry in the Old Spirit, in the Old Bible as there is in the New Bible. I know that, amen. But the Bible says these things are written for your admonition and for your learning. The Old Bible is given to us for our admonition. It's given to us for our learning. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, we're to learn the Bible by comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. So what we do is we get Old Testament illustrations and find out how we can apply that to the New Testament without crossing Pauline doctrine. See, a lot of folks will just take the Bible anywhere and lay it out, and if they got to change Paul, they'll change Paul to try to prove what they believe. Paul is our apostle, and we don't change Paul's preaching, amen. We apply it to it as a practical application. Amen. Well, so we have to look at some lives in the Old Testament to find out who had a right spirit and who had a wrong spirit. That way, it ain't my message, it's God's book. So I realized a long time ago that the message is more important than the messenger. And the book's more important than the brethren. And preaching's more important than meetings. By the way, if you're preaching for money, you can't afford to preach anything. So we'll find out one of David's friends or foes at one time, and then look at David's life. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. We'll look at the two lives of Samuel and Saul, and we'll try to hurry. I won't be like Pharaoh, won't let God's people go, but I will tell you one thing. As soon as we're through, we hope that you'll get the right spirit. I hope that you'll have the right spirit before you leave. You say, well, I come with the right spirit. Well, that's good, then you can leave with the right spirit too. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, but stay in 13 because we're going there. Samuel came down and God's people said that they wanted a king like all the other nations. That wasn't God's will. God didn't want no democracy. God didn't want no monarch at that time. He wanted a republic at that time that was run by the law. Amen. And that's the problem with America today, is we've changed from a republic into a democracy. Amen. Mess up every time. So God gave them what they wanted. He gave them Saul, man head and shoulders over all the people of Israel. He gave them exactly what they deserved. I'll tell you why we got Bill Clinton. We got exactly what we deserved. Amen. Amen. I'm for David Duke president and Jesse Helms vice president. Amen. Get something done. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul is hiding among the stuff, the Bible said. And Samuel comes over there and pours that oil on his head and he anoints him as king of Israel. It's a type of the Holy Spirit right there. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 16, I know by chance, I know it ain't supposed to be, but it just happens to start out in verse 11. That David is anointed king over Israel at the same time Saul's reigning. So both of these men were anointed to be king. And both of these men were men. But listen,
Don't ever mistake a man's masculinity for the power of God. Everybody think God be tough these days, you know. Walk around and be tough and cuss. That's not godly. You don't got to be tough unless the situation is tough. Amen. A lot of people think someone's real mean and rotten and just manly and downing the women and kicking them all the time. He's a real full of the power of God. Well, if he can preach on breeches and shorts and everything else and short hair on women, he must have the power of God. Maybe he's got a dirty heart. Maybe he's looking someplace he ain't supposed to be looking, amen. I heard him say you could tell if his head or tail's in her back pocket. What was you looking that close for, bud? Well, there might be something wrong with that old boy. Well, Saul was a tough old boy. I don't believe I'd want to go up against Saul. Down there at the men of Jabesh Gilead, Nahash came down there and said, we're going to take every one of these. And they said, well, we don't want to fight. That's what how Christians, they want to give up without a fight. He said, all right, if you don't want to fight, what you got to do is pluck out your right eye. Just take out half your vision, you can serve the devil. And they said, what are we going to do? Saul heard about it. Saul said, oh, no, we ain't going to give up like that. So he went out there and he got a yoke of oxen. He slew those yoke of oxen and sent them all to the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, if you boys don't get down here, we're fixing to have a fight. And if you don't come down here and fight for our freedom over Jabesh there, have you been to Jabesh Gilead? I'm going to come all the way through the house of Israel and slay everybody's oxen. And that got people encouraged. And they went down there and beat Nahash. Tell me Saul was no wimp. He wasn't no wimp. And David, he sure enough wasn't no wimp. You get to reading over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. You know what it says? It said David ran like a hart. And he said that he took a bow of steel and bent it in his hands. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I had to fight somebody and he had a bow of steel, and if he looked at me and bent that sucker in half, I'm here to tell you, I'd get kind to that boy, amen. I believe I'd try to backpedal a little bit, get out of that way, man. Or at least get to my truck where my two friends, Mrs. Smith and Weston, are sitting underneath my seat, amen. Yeah. David wasn't no mouse. David was a man. And Saul was a man. Amen. And they were both anointed by God to do a job. They both had supernatural powers by God. Well, look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, the camp of Israel sitting around doing nothing, like most churches. And old Jonathan gets a bug in him. He says, man, I'm tired of sitting around. He says, Abishai, let's go up to the garrison of the Philistines and let's go up there and kill some folk. He said, I'm tired of sitting around. God, I'm a warrior. I'm not going to do it. Daddy wants to sit around. Let him sit around and get down there and politic with those folks down at their Tri-County and those folks down there in Houston. And let them just get down there and work it all up down there and let them know how great they are. Let them live to be legends in their own mind. I know I'm right. But look at this strange thing. Look at verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpets throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. It's a lie. It's a lie. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines. So what are you saying? Jonathan slew, Saul blew. So you met him, have you? I met him. So you boys, get out of school down here. We got us a nice little mission program. Amen. All you got to do is just send your tithes and your faith promise to us so I can build me another building. All the while hiding behind a King James Bible and Ruckmanism, which I don't believe. But we'll help you. Saul, Jonathan, slaying. Not Homer. Saul, blowing. Look what I did. Look what I can do. Look what I've done. No, you didn't do it, boy. You didn't do it. Jonathan did it. And if it wasn't for this school, if
it wasn't for that man and you men that teach in this school, almost all the independent Bible-believing missionaries in this world would have never reached the field. But everybody wants to blow the horn and say, look at all the boys I got. Look what I've done. Look at the great job I'm doing. Oh, no. You got the wrong spirit when you're saying that. Well, you having fun? Well, the people get to crying down there in verses 8 through 11. Preachers get to crying, and parents and the mamas and everybody else, church members, and what they got to do is they want to make they want to have an offering here. They want to have a great big old offering going on here. But Samuel ain't there yet. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't ever late, and God ain't ever early. God's always on time. But old Saul was impatient. See, he might want to build him a new building. And the only way he could do it was get those mighty men down there with Jonathan and get something done. So what he did is he said, well, everybody's asking to have this offering and the preacher ain't come yet. So I believe I'll just do the offering myself. Listen, God never wanted a king and a priest to get together in one office. Because God knew through the Holy Spirit back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, if a king and a priest at the same time, one man, ever got together, it'd be a Roman Pope. And God is against Romanism. And all of a sudden, here he come. Here come the preacher after he'd already made the offering. And boy, he got caught. Amen. Now, what did Saul have? Saul had the Holy Spirit. So you believe that a man can do wrong and have the Holy Spirit? Hush your mouth. What are you doing today? Of course they can. It all depends who you're yielding to. Amen. Now, several times, David, he still has got the right spirit. Several times, David could have killed Saul, but he didn't do it. He was in the cave one time. I got to thinking about that thing, boy. And David's leaning against that wall, and Saul comes in that because it's hot outside. He comes in to get cool. And David takes out that sword, and he reaches down there, and he grabs his skirt, and he takes that sword and cuts that skirt. And Saul didn't even know that he cut the skirt. He might have had a very sharp sword. I got me a pocket knife, but it ain't that sharp. Can you imagine someone grabbing your britches or your dress on the way out and cutting that thing, and you not even knowing it? And David's back in there with the right spirit, trying to figure out not to do wrong to the man with the wrong spirit. And the right spirit smokes him. And he said, O king, touch that not Lord's anointing to do the prophets no harm, I'm sorry. And then one night they're sleeping down in the garrison, he gets a young preacher with him, Abishai. Oh, little Abishai. He's a headhunter. He went to PBI. Oh, Abishai, he's a PBI grad for sure, amen. They get down there, and all the men are around Saul sleeping. And he's standing there, David's standing there, and old Abishai's got that spear, said, let me get him, David. I'll smite him once he'll never get up again. And the Lord, the man with the right spirit gets smoked by the Holy Spirit, while the man with the wrong spirit's sleeping. And the man with the right spirit does him no harm. Even though he's out to kill him. The man with the wrong spirit's out to stop the work of God. And the man with the right spirit showing grace to the man that's trying to stop his own ministry. Whoa, I'm having fun. David takes off. You don't hear of him no more. He's out in the woods. He's out in the Judean hills. He's out there rearing up sheep. He's out there learning how to take care of a flock. He's learned how to do something for God. And what's Saul doing? He's politicking position. Camp meeting to camp meeting. Only preaching going on is the preaching he's the doing, you know. And don't read, some of you don't need to read those books from Pensacola. You need to read the book from heaven. I said, I can't meet a little while ago, I said that fellow said. You need to quit reading that book from Pensacola. Read that book from heaven. The problem with the folk in Pensacola is you may not know what it is. But you've been taught to know what it ain't. And it's better to know what it ain't than to know what it is. Because if all you know what it is, you've got to get a hat each week because your head gets big.
But when you know what it ain't, they fear you.
So a man like Saul, he promotes himself, promotes his tapes, promotes his sermons. He believes he's the answer to everybody's problem. You just come ask him. He'll tell you. Amen. I was at a meeting. I swear to God. Brought a bunch of these boys from our church. Went to this meeting. I said, it's going to be a good meeting. I said, let's go, preacher. Got in the van, rode by 5 hours, got down to this meeting. And this idiot got up there and started preaching, you know. And he's an idiot, sure enough. And he got on marriage, divorce, remarriage, and these white liquor boys that I got, just a bunch of rebels, man. And they, you know, messed up, and some of them had been married before, some of them just clean old boys, as clean as a hound of tooth, but they was back there saying, preacher, that ain't right. I said, just shut up. Listen to this, man. Just shut up. Would you shut up? Oh, preacher, we ought to call that buzzard down. Fuck, he's in Burke County. We take him on High Peak and make him walk the briars down, preacher. Yeah, well, you ain't in Burke County right now. If you want to hitchhike back, you better shut your mouth. He got up there and he got to preaching on, you know, ladies and all this junk, you know. And his wife, of course, was going to preach to the ladies. Outlines, you know, preaching women outlines, you know. Just for the ladies, you know. And he said, I'm going to teach you men how to kiss your wife. I've been married 22 years, preacher. If I ain't figured that out yet, I'm in trouble. I don't even believe anybody had the brother there to teach me how to kiss my wife. It was just something that was there. I mean, when I seen that, Webster couldn't define what was going on between her eyes and mine. And when I seen her, I knew how to kiss her, amen. I didn't have to have that idiot show me. Those old boys of mine got up and started walking out saying, the blank with it, the blank with it, the blank with it. Well, Houston, that Saul, ain't you? Promotes himself. Amen. Saul thought going through the motions, exterior motions, that it would all work out right. It don't work out right just going through the motions. You fellas that ain't doing your best in school, it ain't going to work out right. You that getting by with a C when you could get an A ain't going to work out right. You women acting like your husband, you know, you're your little honey bun of your husband, and really deep down inside got bitterness in your heart because you're going to school and called to preach, it ain't going to work out right. Just going through the motions don't get it done. It depends what spirit you got when you're going through it. I'm trying to hurry. Let's move. 1 Samuel 15. I'm glad we got a Bible, aren't you? Down where I'm at, you know what they do? They take a verse, and they take a fit. And they run from generation to revolution, and by the time they get done, everybody's shouting, but no one knows what he said. We was coming back from a meeting, and all these fellas in the bus, they said, "Wow!" Our boy, he preached. Did you see his veins? Did you see the sweat? His shirt was soaking wet, preacher. I said, what did that bird say? It don't matter what he said. It was good. I didn't think you were so hot. Now, I know the Bible says you're to earn your bread by the sweat of your face. And in preaching, if you ain't going to sweat, I'm going to sweat, but someone's going to sweat, amen. 1 Samuel 15. Saul is told to kill the Amalekites. He's told to kill everybody. Agag, kill them. No quarter. Boy, girl, mommy, daddy, them old tapo dogs, she'd kill them all. The best soldier in Vietnam was William Calley. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. The best soldier in Vietnam was William Calley. The Malai Massacre. They told him, go in no quarter and kill. He did. You see, the Vietnam veterans, I'm one, was at Khe Sanh in 1968, 26 Marines. You think I don't know what I'm talking about? I do. You don't.
I was an artillery FO, 105 battery. I know what it's like to call napalm in on gooks. And I still don't like them. I see them in the grocery store and my finger itches. Say why? I don't know why. It just does. You see, the Vietnam veterans, they're the best soldiers America ever had. So I don't agree. I know you don't. But we're the only ones that ever fought when their country wasn't backing them. World War I, America backed the soldiers. World War II, they backed the soldiers. You had your parades come in when you came home. Korea, they backed you. When we went over, they didn't back us. And there's 60,000 names on a black wall that died for that stinking Pope. He said, no quarter, kill everything. But Saul, remember, Saul's got the wrong spirit, so now he can't think right. So he's going to interpret the Bible to benefit him. Instead of just do what God said. He's going to interpret his way so he can build a new building. Maybe get some more missionaries. Get some more camp meeting preachings. Get in a bigger crowd. Saul, his answer was, well, preacher, under the circumstances, you know. And God said, slay him utterly. You see, when you spare things that God says to kill, you never have the right spirit. And God may tell you to slay things he don't tell me. There are some things I can do you can't do. I went down. Yes, I tell it. I went down and seen Michael Jordan play the other day. Lord help me. Seen play Charlotte Hornets. Say, you're worldly. That's me. But Jens was out there playing hockey last night. Yeah. But when it came to slaying Agag, he didn't do what God said. He wanted to do what he wanted to do so he could benefit. Amen. Even though he had the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you, Agag and the Ammonites is the greatest type of the flesh in the Bible. And if you don't slay it, it's going to become your enemy. It's Israel's enemy all the way through. And until they call on God and ask God for His blessings to slay it, God don't do nothing. And you think you can handle it? You can't. Saul said, I'm head and shoulders over everybody. I can handle it. I can do this. I can go this way. I can do this. I can do this. I can handle it. I'm the king. He couldn't handle it. And neither can you and I. The flesh is too powerful. The flesh is too powerful. It's more powerful than our willingness service for God. It stops us from serving God. The flesh will stop you from praying. I tell you, fellas, where I learned to pray out in that field out there and that old sand and out there with those old sand spurs and up in this back room, that thing used to buzz like a beehive. I didn't hear nary a sound last night. You better learn to pray now because the weather is going to change when you get out of here. You better get your prayer life right. Flesh will cause you not to pray. It'll cause you not to read your Bible. It'll cause you not to witness. The flesh will fool you by sight. Some things will look good, but they ain't no good. Some things that look bad are good. It'll fool you by taste, by your savor. Some things taste good, but they're no good. Some things taste bad will help you. Flesh will fool you. Amen. It'll fool you by your hearing, by the sound. Some things sound good, but they're no good. And some things sound bad, like right now, some of you's got a face make an undertaker cry, but I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you the truth, and it may not sound real good, but it'll help you, amen. That old, now bluegrass, I like it. I'm in Blue Ridge Mountains. But some of it ain't no good. I'll be driving that old Ford truck down the road. I'll turn the radio on. I got me two hound dogs in a pickup truck. Got me outhouse and baby hung up on me. And a country boy can survive. Yeah, yeah. And I got me cocoon dog in a bass boat. Whoa, baby, I'm ready to go. And a country boy can survive. The Spirit of God says, boy, change that channel. I said, but Lord, a country...
but I got me three German shepherds. Oh, boy, am I a row. Ah, how about it, Lord? Oh, no, no. So I change the station because I'm spiritual. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, then I don't want to go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, oh, we don't want to go. If heaven ain't no better than Texas, ain't no better than Louisiana, or Mississippi, or Georgia, or Tennessee, or Florida, or Alabama, or South Carolina, or North Carolina, Virginia, I don't want to go, but heaven's better than those. The flesh will fool you. All you youngins, it'll fool you. That stinking rap music. Lord God, have mercy. My name's Hammer. My mama's in the slammer. And I'm so unhappy because I never knew my pappy. Ooh, there's something wrong with your genes. You got some afro in you if you like that stuff. They even got it now, you know, in gospel. My name's Jesus. I'm from Galilee, and I got 12 boys. One's a devil following me. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, it'll fool you by smell. Some things smell good ain't no good. Some things smell bad. Pretty good for you. Now, don't forget the message. The Holy Spirit had anointed Saul. The Holy Spirit had anointed David. Saul had a transformation. David had a transformation. Old Testament type now, not New Testament. Amen. He had been used by God, Saul did, to bring victory to Israel. And now he's messing up. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30. All right, we're going to hurry now. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. He said, I know you got me, preacher, but don't tell nobody. You know I've been doing wrong, preacher, but don't tell nobody. That's the wrong spirit. I know I sinned, preacher, but just honor me. Amen. Don't show me up in front of the brethren. Don't preach on my sin. Preach on anything but me. You see, he thinks he's more important than the will of God. David wasn't like that. I had two fellows in my church. One, my own brother. He's 6'4", weighs 320 pounds. He's a big one. They shacking up with girls. I went to him. I said, you got 2 weeks to get right. My brother said, who do you think you are? I said, I'm nobody but a voice in the wilderness. But I'm your preacher. And we ain't having no fornication in our church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Got 2 weeks, boy, get it right or get out. Told the other one, you got 2 weeks to get it right or get out. Say, I wouldn't have done it. Hey, I got little boys. I got little girls. I got families. I got mammas. I got papas coming to my church. They need to hear from God. You ain't going to hear from God with that mess in the church house. 2 weeks later, they didn't show up. They didn't come around. Sunday morning, we opened up with the church meeting. Said, we're going to strike Robert Dale Lentz's name off the roll. And Bill LaFever's name off the roll. That's my assistant pastor's uncle. And you know what happened? We had a blowout. Those Carolina folks started shouting and praising God and running the aisles. You know what it did? It broke that wrong spirit that had been in there for a while. Well, we know we're not going there, but 1 Samuel 10, because we're going to hurry. Saul could only prophesy when everybody else was doing it. And what happened was he wouldn't slay Agag, so the preacher come down there, old Samuel. He come down. He said, hey, did you do what I told you to do? Saul said, oh, I done it. I done it for the Lord. I'm a good preacher. I love you, preacher. He said, what's this bleeding? And this lowing of the oxen that I hear. He said, what's going on here, Saul? That's how it is usually at imitation time. Everybody sits there like, I'm okay. I came a long way for this. Boy, you in trouble.
But what's this bleeding? What's this lowing of the oxygen?
So Samuel said to Saul, get right, boy. Saul said, I ain't getting right. I'm going down to Gilboa Baptist Church. I'm going to move my membership right down to Gilboa. Because every time I come around you, Samuel, all you want to do is slay people. Just cut everybody in peace every time I come around. Where'd you go, TBI or something?
Yeah. You see, the Spirit determined how he turned out. If you know what happened at Gilboa, that's where he committed suicide. A lot of people leave a good church because they got their toes stepped on, got preaching that would help them, and go down the road and kill themselves later to get out of church. You'd be better getting cut up each week and doing what God said. And it wasn't Samuel's fault, it was Saul's fault for keeping the goody. You ever wonder why? I wondered this, why God dealt different with Samuel and David. David and Saul. I'm going to be true. I've been married 22 years. Now, if I asked somebody to do something and they didn't do it, if it was real important, I might get a little mad. But if you took my wife out, now I know I'm 45 years old. And I know some shingles are coming off the top. And I know there's some snow on the side. But there's still fire inside. And you mess with my wife, and I'm going to put one on you. You're going to have to climb a ladder to scratch top that lump I put on your hand. Now, God didn't do it that way. Yeah, who was worse? Saul or Samuel? Or Saul or David? Who did the worst sin? Disobedience. He said, disobedience sin is witchcraft. And he said, hey, you took this woman out, you ruined him, you got her husband killed, you got Joab messed up, you messed up, boy. Who did worse? But God was more lenient to David than he was to Saul. I asked God, why was you like that? I said, Lord, if I was you, I'd have smoked Saul. He said, because when Samuel took his finger and put it on Saul's nose and said, it's you, boy, Saul said, it's not me. It's the people. And it's you, preacher. You didn't come in time to help me. So I had to do it. You weren't around. But when old Nathan got that big old finger and said, it's you, boy, David said, you got me, preacher. You got me, preacher. I was hiding, but I knew I couldn't hide from God. You got me, boy. One has the wrong spirit. One's got the right spirit. Psalm 51 was a psalm written to the chief musician that they sang in the temple. And in front of everybody. And when David came to the temple and sat down, they would sing, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew unto me the joy of my salvation. Wash me, purge me. And everybody in the church knew they were singing about David. But David didn't care because he had got it right with God. So Saul is the type of Christian that is given power, but he exploits it to his own honor and glory. He likes the show of the outward manifestation, but he hates the new man. He loves the crowd, but he shuns the cross. His personal honor is more important than the glory of God. He wants the crown, but he don't want to carry a cross. He wants the resurrection, but he don't want to die. He wants the cure, but he don't want the illness. He wants the rainbow, but he don't want the storm. He wants the filling, but he don't want the emptying. He wants the revelation, but he don't want nothing to do with Patmos. He wants the promised land, but he don't want to walk in the wilderness. He wants an upper room experience, but he don't want to go through Gethsemane. He wants the power of God, but he don't want the breaking of God. So you met him, huh? You see, it isn't the incidents in a man's life that determines how he turns out. It's the overall theme. Gideon hiding behind the threshing floor. There are Midians coming down ready to get the stuff. And the Lord comes by and he's hiding. He's yelling. The Lord comes by and says, old almighty man of valor. He looks up. Who are you talking to, Lord? I'm young. That's why I'm bound here. Wait till chapter 7. Then you see the mighty man of valor. You see, it's not where you messed up here or messed up there or messed up here or messed up there. God looks at your life as a whole view. And that whole view determines what spirit you have along the way. Saul messed up. David got blessed. Amen. David's life was given to the glory of God. He goes out saying, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He goes out telling his boy. He's going out telling his boy, saying, fear God, keep His commandments. God will bless you. Saul goes out, falling on his own sword. His boy's dying with him. It's bad enough that he died himself, but to take your youngins with you. If you ought to want to live for anything besides Jesus Christ, you ought to want to live for your youngins. They're the future church if Jesus doesn't come back soon. Well, it's not long before Saul starts throwing spears. You know the story. Well, when you get cynical about the work of God, and you get cynical about the preaching, amen, and you get to thinking that the preacher has some ulterior motive in his message, you have the wrong spirit. And when you get cynical and sarcastic, you have the wrong spirit. And when somebody isn't as spiritual as you and you look down your nose at him and forget where you were, thinking now you have arrived, you have the wrong spirit. And when someone don't like what you like and isn't doing what you're doing, and you look down thinking because you're third year and he's first year, and you're better now because you've attained. No, 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 no. There's 7 years of tribulation, not three. Sin created the wrong spirit in David's life. And when David realized it, in Psalm 51 and verse 10, he said, Lord, create in me the right spirit. When Samuel put his finger on Saul and did it, Saul rejected repentance from God. He wouldn't do right. He goes down to the witch of Endor because he couldn't get nothing from God. He winds up dead with the wrong spirit. Saul was the type of fella that wanted to see the hand of God. David was the type of fella that wanted to see the face of God. Saul was the type of fella that wanted to know what God had for him. David was the type of fellow that wanted to know who God was. The spirit that they had determined how they turned out. My wife says I am, and I believe I might be. Getting a little. I forget things. I lose things all the time. I lose everything. And she said, I was over there. Before we left to the airport from Charlotte, we got about an hour drive from Charlotte, I stopped my car 3 times. She said, what is wrong with you? I said, I want to make sure I got my Bible notes. She said, you just looked. I said, well, they might have flew out the back window. She said, have you got your glasses? I'm on the way. I'm coming. You got your glasses? I got them. You got your, the key? I got it. I'll leave it there. I don't know. We got about 2.5 acres, and I'm elected to cut the grass at our church. Now, I've been there 11 years, almost, but I'm elected. I am the grass cutter. So I wouldn't cut my grass. I thought that one time, too. I was out there pushing that thing with one of those Rojo mowers, you know, and had one wheel bad, you know, Baptist. Baptists never get nothing good. They always get something used. And it's kind of cocked like that, you know, I'm pushing it. And this preacher pulls up. He said, hey, Lance. I said, hey, brother. He said, what are you doing? I said, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm mowing grass. He said, well, if I was a pastor here, I wouldn't mow grass. I said, you mow your grass? No, I don't mow my grass. Oh, that's good. So I get back, he leaves. I said, I'm there, he's right. Bless God, he is right. And I'm going to preach on mowing grass. I'm going to find something in the Bible about mowing grass. And I was walking up and down, man, it's hot. And God said, hey, Lince. I said, yeah. He said, did you ever remember when you didn't have a church? I said, yeah, so what? He said, you didn't have no grass to mow, did you? I said, no, I didn't. He said, you want to keep mowing this grass? I said, I got the message. Now, Carolina gets hot now in summer. We like Alabama and Florida and Georgia and Mississippi and Texas. And when I got out there about 2 years ago, my eyes started getting bad. I got a little problem with Agent Orange and dealing with. And had to get glasses and... But I go outside. If it's a sunny day, I wear sunglasses all the time. I do. I put them on. My wife says I put them on because I think I look cool. Well, truth may be true. I put those sunglasses on. I go out there. I mow that lawn, you know. Now they bought me a riding mower, so now I'm really uptown. And I'll be out there, and I'll come into the house, and I'll say, Cheryl, I say, give me some spring water. Man, I'm dying.
Lord have mercy, it's killing me out there.
She said, you're going to kill yourself. I said, she said, just wait. I said, I don't want to wait. I want to get it done. God's house needs to look good. She says, all right. So she gets me a glass of water and I'll sit down. I said, give me another one of those things. Now I'll drink another glass of water. Well, I said, boy, that's good. She said, how much longer before you get done? I said, it'll be a while. So I'll go back outside. Boy, that old sun hit my eyes. I thought, Lord have mercy. So I walked back inside. I said, Cheryl. She says, what? She said, you want some more water? I said, no, I want my glasses. She said, you old fool. I said, listen, I don't need no lip out of you right now, woman. Bless God, shut your mouth and find my glasses. She's laughing. I go over to my boy. I said, Traps. Yeah, he's just turned 14, 6'4", big old boy. I said, hey, did you take my glasses? No, Daddy. You liar. I bet I seen you with them yesterday. I didn't take them, Daddy. My wife will grab me by the arm. She said, you're nuts. She said, come in here. I walk into the bathroom. I said, are they in there? No, they're not in there. I stand before the mirror. And she stands behind me. She reaches up there and goes, there's your glasses, stupid. You see, I never lost them. I never lost them because you can't lose the Holy Spirit. The only thing I lost was their comfort when I needed it most. And some of you have lost His comfort. And some of you have lost His presence. And some of you have lost His blessings. You know why? You got the wrong spirit. It's going to determine how you turn out. Want to turn out right? Get the right spirit. Want to turn out wrong? Just keep on going like you are. Won't be long, Gilboa show up. You and your young ones will go down. David and his young ones will go on. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew unto me a right spirit. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let me just ask you a question real quickly. We'll turn the service back over to the preacher. Maybe we get something on 10 or something. Not going to hold long. If anybody out here today might say this, Brother Jim, I want to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, preacher. There are some things in my life. Some things in my life, preacher. Things ain't going good. Some things in my life I got the wrong spirit about. Would you pray for me? We're going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to give it to the preacher. God bless you. See your hands. God bless you. Hands everywhere. Listen. Can you say as David said, O Lord, renew unto me a right spirit. If you'll call, He'll answer. We're going to have a word of prayer. And if you need to come, you come. Don't you leave without getting straightened out with God. You may regret it down the road. Father in heaven, done all we can do. God, we ask the Holy Spirit to do His job to convince this world of sin, righteous judgment to come. God, that You'd be glorified, Lord. Bypass us, Lord. Bypass us preachers. God, bypass this building. And God, feed Thy people. Help them out, Lord. They don't need no more misery. They don't need no more problems in their life. God, I pray that You'd renew unto them a right spirit and give them back that joy that they'll need so, God, they'll be refreshed by the time this meeting's over. Father, that we can give You the praise and honor and anything that's done, Lord. If we've ever done anything that was pleased You, Lord, could we cash it in now that You might benefit one of these people and encourage them down the road to do right? And God, we'll give You the praise now because, Lord, we'll steal it by the time this service is over. So, Father, You get all the glory, honor, majesty, but God, help Thy people. God, help us to have a right spirit, Lord, where we can draw people to Thee. If you need to come, you come.
Let's tire in prayer. If you want to come to the altar, come ahead. And then we're going to stand and sing about two stanzas of number 69 in the paperback. And I want to ask you people in the back now just to contain yourself, control yourself for a while. Don't nobody leave here for a while. We'll have you sing before we leave. Now, you can wait. You can control yourself. And the Lord doing business here. And people have a serious moment. Don't want this constant interference. Let us hold the phone. Don't be going out the back door there to get a drink, go to the bathroom or something. Just control yourself for a while. Think about some others here who need some time with the Lord. All right, let's stand. Everybody stand. Turn to 69 in this paperback. One of you sing the first and third stanza. The first and third stanza. Is thy heart right with God? Paperback book, number 69. The first and the third stanza. Is thy heart right with God? If you want to join these here at the altar, come and join them. We'll just wait a little time and let God do what he wants to do it here in our midst. Number 69, all right? Condemnation for sin. A lot of truth on you this morning. Everything he said, it was so. The Lord dealt much harder with the spiritual sins of Saul than the fleshy sins of David. Now, David had a rough reaping. You can't sow in the flesh without reaping in the flesh. But that's flesh.